Our first scripture reading for today is from Lamentations chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. By the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. My soul says, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good to hope quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bears a yoke early in his life. Let him sit alone and be silent, because the Lord has laid this upon him. Let him stick his face in the dust. Perhaps there still is hope. Let him turn his cheek toward the one who strikes him. Let him be filled with disgrace. For the Lord will not push us away forever. Even though he brings grief, he will show compassion on the basis of his great mercy. Certainly, it is not what his heart desires when he causes affliction, when he brings grief to the children of men. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give your attention to the first verses of our Old Testament lesson for today, Lamentations chapter 3. By the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what do you know about the book of Lamentations? If you've gone to St. Paul's Lutheran School in second grade in the last 3 decades, maybe you know that song for the books of the Bible. And when you get to that part in the books of the Bible, you slow down and you say it real slow and sad, Lamentations. That's how you're supposed to feel when you read that book of Lamentations. That's what the word means, and it says it all. It's a song of mourning. It's a song of deep sadness and sorrow over devastating loss. What else have you encountered in this book of Lamentations? If you've come to a tenebrae service here at St. Paul's in the last few years, you've encountered words from this book of Lamentations. On Good Friday evening, the day that we commemorate, remember the death and the burial of our Savior Jesus, that service of darkness, you hear some words from Lamentations. And they're heavy words. They're very troubling words. They're words that bring us to the point of despair over sin and sorrow over what we have caused. And when you hear those words, you feel like everything is lost. Everything is gone. That there's no hope. That's what the book of Lamentations is all about. And you may wonder, in a book like that, where it's entirely devoted to mourning and grieving over deep loss as a result of our sinfulness, you may wonder, what ray of hope could there be found in such a book at all? But here it is. Right here in the dead center of this book of sorrow and deep mourning over complete ruin and total loss of everything dear, everything precious, without hope, without any kind of brightness in life at all, there shines forth this beautiful, this glorious ray of hope. In the midst of complete sadness, this brilliant beam of light shines. By the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed, for your compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so this is our confidence too. And this is our theme for today as we ponder these words from this book of Lamentations, this book of deep sorrow and sadness. We see this brilliant, radiant ray of hope. A message which is at the very heart and center of this book of Lamentations, because even in the midst of God's alien work of the law, punishment over sin, still God's gospel shines forth. Great is your faithfulness, God. God is faithful as he disciplines us for our good. And God is faithful as he keeps his promise to save us. What was that deep loss that inspired this book of Lamentations? Imagine this church building that you know and love so much, which has stood for over 100 years. This beloved sanctuary on the corner of Court and Bond, where over a century people have been called to worship here by those beautiful bells that ring. They've gathered here with their family, perhaps to the third, even fourth generation, weekly gatherings every Sunday morning. This beloved sanctuary where God comes to meet with his people in word and sacrament to comfort and encourage you. Perhaps at the funeral of a loved one. Perhaps where you met beside your bride or groom for your wedding day. Perhaps where you brought your children to that font where God's Holy Spirit was poured out as the gospel was proclaimed. Where Jesus meets with you and feeds you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. God is here in this glorious place, this beloved sanctuary, where you're absolved from your sins and your praises rise up to the God who has saved you. Imagine you're standing across Court Street and looking at it, and you're watching as this building is plundered, as it burns to the ground. The walls are collapsing in, the glass is shattered and destroyed, and you see the horrors of destruction before you. And all of those memories of joy and excitement about meeting with God here are shattered and broken into a million pieces, as what is left is hardly even recognizable. How would you feel? That's what Jeremiah was experiencing as he penned these words of Lamentations. He watched as his own countrymen, his fellow brothers and sisters, were being killed by invading armies. And on top of all the death and the trouble, he watched and looked up to that glorious Temple Mount and saw exactly that. That beautiful sanctuary, where not just for 100 years, but for 300, maybe even 400 years, God's people had gathered to meet with God. God came to them, and they praised and glorified God to see this house leveled and destroyed, rahabbed and defiled to the point of not even being recognizable, so that the walls came down and not even one stone was left upon another. It was the deepest sorrow anyone could experience. For 5 chapters, Jeremiah writes about sorrow. A sorrow that didn't seem to have a bottom to it. Like the depth of a pit that never hit the ground beneath, a bottomless pit of mourning. That's the book of Lamentations. And Jeremiah knew why. In fact, Jeremiah was one who was called to warn of exactly such a thing. It was because of the sin of the people, the sin of his nation, the sin of his entire countrymen. They had rebelled against God for too long, and he, Jeremiah, had been sent after so many other prophets before him to warn this nation of exactly this thing that was coming. The consequences of their wickedness and their sin. But they didn't listen, and they didn't change, and the sin continued. And God was faithful in keeping his promise. God's time of visitation had come. And what could Jeremiah say? What comfort could he find? What ray of hope, what light of dawn could possibly be found in such a state of grief and loss that seemed to have no bottom, no depth of never-ending despair, of a hopeless place? What comfort could be found? You get that sense as you read that book of Lamentations, the deepest sorrow. What comfort can be found? Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Yes, He is faithful, even in disciplining us for our good. But even when He does, Jeremiah points out in these verses that God does not enjoy that discipline that He sends, even though He knows it's for our good. This work is foreign to Him, the discipline of the law. In the middle of this verse, in the middle chapter, in the last verse of our text, this is the middle verse of the entire chapter, of chapter 3, which is in the middle verse of the entire book. Certainly, it is not what His heart desires when He causes affliction, when He brings grief to the children of men. Of all the things that Jeremiah wants you to know, he wants you to center on this truth, that when God disciplines us according to His faithful promise, as He does it so in love, it doesn't delight Him to send suffering. But He does it. He does it because He is faithful to His promise to punish sin and purge out that sinful flesh, as such discipline is for our good. Yes, Jeremiah reminds us of that in the midst of suffering, that God is carrying out His alien work, His foreign work, something that is not normal to Him, not what is of His nature. He doesn't love it. He doesn't enjoy afflictions and discipline of the sinful nature. He doesn't like to proclaim the law. He doesn't want to have to bring punishment and judgment on the sinner. But such is necessary. Yet that work is alien to God, foreign to Him. Why? Because He's not the God of vengeance. No, because He is the Lord. The Lord. The God of free and faithful grace. That is His proper work. That is what He delights in. That's what He loves to bring. The work that He loves to do. He loves to comfort. He loves to console. He loves to show His mercy and His grace to the desperate, to the humble, to the one who knows how unworthy he is in the presence of God. That's why in verses 28 through 30, Jeremiah speaks of our attitude as we humble ourselves, even when God is faithful in giving us discipline. As he speaks these words, "Let him sit alone and be silent, because the Lord has laid this upon him. Let him stick his face in the dust. Perhaps there still is hope. Let him turn his cheek toward the one who strikes him. Let him be filled with disgrace." You see the progression of thought in those three verses? First, we remain silent as God afflicts us, knowing that this affliction comes from the God of free and faithful grace. Then, what is more, we bury our face before Him as we bow down and worship Him, trusting that this won't last forever. And finally, we even stick out our face to receive that blow from Him upon the cheek. And we receive that disgrace to us, knowing that this is what we deserve. Yes, we accept discipline patiently, quietly, humbly from the hand of the Lord, because we know that such discipline comes from the hand of a God who is full of mercy and compassion. It comes from the hand of a God who grieves over the suffering that He must allow, the cross that He must press down upon us to humble us. It comes from the hand of a God who would rather comfort us, who would rather indeed console us, because His compassions are new every morning. How can you not hear these words of verse 30 and hear the voice of your Savior Himself, who in his Sermon on the Mount urged us to do this very thing, to turn the other cheek to one who strikes us. And then be reminded about how that Savior was the way that God showed his incredible mercy toward us when he came to do this very thing and fulfilled these words of the prophet Jeremiah. As he turned to his smiters as they struck him on the face, as God laid down that heaviest cross upon him and not us for the punishment our sins deserved. And he carried that all the way to the cross to die. How can we not be filled with great awe and wonder and appreciation for this God who is faithful, whose faithfulness is great, who keeps his promise to bring discipline for our good. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord. Yes, he's faithful, reliable to keep his promise to discipline us when we sin, so that he can purge that sinful nature from us and bring us his salvation. But more importantly than being faithful in disciplining us, how much more faithful is he in bringing us that salvation? Yes, he is more importantly faithful in that too, because that is his proper work, the work that brings him delight and joy, because that is who he is, the God of free and faithful grace. Look again at these words. In the very center of a book, the beautiful ray of light, of pure joy, the brilliant gleam of splendor, and you wonder, where could this come from? As Jeremiah looks and sees his temple destroyed and knows that he will not worship that God in that temple again, yet he could look and see this brilliant ray of light, and his hope is renewed. More than that, his hope, which knows no sadness or no sorrow, and no sorrow or sadness can be so deep or so profound that even the darkness that it brings can dampen this light. No, this light overcomes all sorrow, no matter how deep. By the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Did you hear it? It's the proper work of God. Not one mercy, but plural mercies. Not just a feeling of compassion from God, but plural, many compassions come to us from this God who is full of grace and mercy. And those never fail us. Even when everything else fails us, those do not. This is who God is. Because he is the one who suffered and died for our sins. And so this one, when he brings this suffering to us, he does not consume us by it. He does not kill us. He does not destroy us. And it does not end in eternity in hell in the midst of our sufferings. Even though we know full well eternal death and destruction in hell is what we deserve for our sins. And yet here we are. You've gotten up again today. We are awake each morning to arise and say, God has been good to me again today. And one day we will wake up to see how perfectly good he has been to us. And that's when the end of our life comes. And then we will be with Jesus forever in heaven. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. We are not consumed by the challenges that God allows to come into our lives. Why not? Though we deserve to be, our sins certainly have warranted every depth of sorrow and worth, and worse than that, eternal separation from God in hell. But by the mercies of the Lord, so many, not just one. It isn't just that feeling of God toward us. It's his mercy that he pours out on us day after day after day. With every message of comfort that God brings to us, his mercies are being poured out to us. With every time he brings us his body and blood for our forgiveness, His mercy is poured out for us again to receive it. With every pouring out from the font of that water that He graciously gives us in baptism, His mercies are poured out to us, new to that child again. Nothing short of His work of salvation for us. And so what do? We wait for Him, even in the midst of those crosses in life. Verses 25 through 27 in the middle of our text, they all begin with the very same word. It's hard to notice it, maybe a little bit in the English translation, but it stands out in the original language. They all begin with one word. And you know what that word is? It makes a loud statement, especially louder in the context of this book of mourning. The word is good. 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 Good, God says. And what is good? It's the progression of thought, this good that is ours. First of all, He says, good is the Lord. Yes, the Lord Himself is good. The Lord who gives us good and not evil. That's an important truth to be reminded of in the midst of sufferings at His hand. But then He goes on. He says, good is waiting patiently for His salvation. Yes, His salvation is good, and we wait patiently for it. And then even He says, good is the discipline of the Lord as we wait for that salvation. Carry that yoke while you're young, He says. Learn to bear that cross from the hand of a loving God now while you are strong and able to bear up under that heavy cross, so that your faith in God grows strong when He sends that cross when you are not so strong anymore. Good. God is good. Waiting for God's salvation is good. And carrying the crosses that He sends in youth and strength is good. Because this is God, the Lord, the God of free and faithful grace, whose compassions never fail. He has never let the one who trusts in Him down. He will never fail, even when the clouds look dark and gloomy. Yet I can see the face of God in His grace in Jesus Christ shining in His faithful love for me. Yes, He loves. Yes, He is faithful in that love for you, even with the rod of discipline that He brings to you. Yes, He is faithful in that love for you, even as He reminds you to wait patiently for His salvation. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.